I was reflecting on an experience I had not long ago, Tegan. I was at an industry conference. I'd given a keynote, and there was a typical trade show happening around the edge of the conference. And there was a quiet period in the trade show because most of the delegates were in an event. And one of them was running a competition, and you had to put 100 grams of salt in a cup. So just imagine you've got a big bucket of salt in front of you and you've got a cup and you have to measure out 100 grams. And the closest person to 100 grams actually was the winner. So the exhibitor said, come on, come and try. And I thought, well, I'll give it a go because I'm between sessions. And so I started to think out loud because I was the only person in the area, so it didn't matter if I was thinking about loud. And I was thinking out loud that a cup is 250 mil. And I think that a cup is something, a gram is something like a mil. And so then I thought, well, then that's probably 250 grams. So I started to work through my process. And she jumped in, the person running the exhibit, she jumped in and she said, oh, let me give you a clue. I said, no, I don't want a clue. She said, okay. So I kept working it through in my head. She said, let me give you a clue. And I had to say twice, I don't want a clue. And so I weighed out what I thought it was. I measured it out with teaspoons. And she weighed it. And guess what I got? 97 grams of salt.
Wow.
That's exactly what I thought. I was pretty tough because I've never won anything in my life. So as it turned out, I was actually the winner because the closest person before me got in the low 90s. And what I was reflecting on is that I nearly didn't get to win because she was trying to give me a clue. And I didn't want the clue. And it just got me thinking about how often do we do that as leaders? We jump in and we try really hard to help, but we give people clues that rob them of the reward that you get for working something out for yourself. No. I reckon we probably do that as parents too. And it turns out that from a brain perspective, there actually is a reward. The primary organising principle of the brain is that we want to move towards reward and away from threat. And having an insight, which is that aha moment when you put different ideas together and you come up with something new, that sort of eureka moment, that's inherently rewarding for the brain. So when we guide people towards their own insights, then they're getting that emotional kickback from it as well as getting the answer solved.
How do we then stop ourselves from trying to do that?
Very good question. I think about the ask-tell ratio. And so the telling is where I want to give you the clue, where I want to tell you how to work out how much grams, how much 100 grams of salt is. But the asking is where I might ask questions that help you generate your own insight. And as a leader, I advocate for leaders a more of a coaching approach, which is very much about hold yourself back from the telling. And one way to do that is just to stop giving advice, because often people will ask you for advice, but what they really want is the answer. They don't necessarily want your advice. And when you give it to them, they're not necessarily going to follow it anyway because there's no ownership for it. So stop giving advice and instead start asking questions. And a really simple question to start out with is, what have you already tried? And then, what were you thinking about trying next? Just asking those questions helps people to start coming up with their own answers.
Are we taught naturally then to solve problems with people? Is that an instinct in itself, or is it the way that we're taught as we're growing up? Why do we do that?
That's a really good question. Why do we do it? I think part of it is we get a sense of reward ourselves for solving problems. Now, if you think right back to school, when you had the answer, then the teacher patted you on the head. Now, when you know the answers, your parents are pleased with you. So we want also, just like people want to solve their own problems, we want to be having the answers. I did an interview a couple of weeks ago with a guy who used to be known as the fix-it man. As a leader, he was the one that always had the answers. And he focused very much on bringing a coaching approach into his style, so that instead of having the answers, he's now seen as the person who can help give people insight. And for him, that was almost a change in his identity. He had to stop being the person who solved everything and start being the person who helped other people come up with the answers themselves.
do we get a reward as well when it comes to our brain if a person in our group or that we lead comes up with that idea? Do we feel like the parent who's got a child who's had an epiphany?
Well, I think that depends on your definition of leadership or your definition of good parenting, if we're thinking about parenting. But I think about as a person junior in an organisation, your role, you know, you're incented to be good at what you do. Whereas once you become a leader, the incentive should be to have your team do well. And so therefore there should be a reward. And there is a reward if I think about my team doing well is a reflection of me. Or as a parent, if I think about my child is developing, if I see that as good rather than I'm giving my child the answers. I think it comes very much back to what's our own definition of success.
How hard is it to change our definition? If we've now identified, oh my gosh, I'm that person, I'm the person that's giving the answers, I'm not letting people think on their own, how difficult is it to retrain our brain now to work differently as a leader?
Oh, I think that's infinitely possible. But the first thing is to just decide. Now, any change starts with a decision, and the decision is that I will change. And then it's about just noticing how often are you giving answers? How often are you telling people? And how often are you asking people? And maintaining that as a focus. And if you're in a leadership role, then perhaps there's someone around you who, you know, you can trust, someone in your team, perhaps someone who reports to you, who you can ask, you know, how often am I asking and how often am I telling? And can you flag that for me when I'm jumping in and giving answers, rather than asking and helping people develop their own insights? I think that the more aware you are, because all of this starts with awareness, the more aware you are, then the more you'll notice yourself doing this, usually after you've done it, and then the awareness starts to happen while you're doing it, and then eventually you get to the point where you make choices before you're actually behaving in a particular way. It's about being self-aware and reflecting on your own behaviour. And there are simple little things you can do, like when I'm learning a new habit, I have a window above my desk and I write in a whiteboard texture on my window, and I just write one or two words. So every time I look up from my screen and I see these words, they remind me what I'm focusing on. It might be a little sticky note inside the folder that you take to meetings. It might be the screensaver on your iPad. All of those things just to constantly bring top of mind for you what it is that you're developing. And in this case, it would be allowing people to come up with their own thoughts, you know, asking more questions and doing less telling.